Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the patience of the Lord Jesus Christ. How kindly He deals with us in showing us His truth. We thank Thee that with long-suffering, He does not weary with us because of our limitations, but patiently shows us again and again that which is true in the gospel. We thank Thee that we have the assurance that He shall not fail nor be discouraged, but that He will actually bring us into all truth. We thank Thee for it. Add Thy blessing to us now as we study, and help us to understand. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. We're continuing our study in the Gospel according to Matthew in the 15th chapter. You will remember that in the first 9 verses of this chapter, we noted how the Lord Jesus was confronted by the scribes and Pharisees who criticized His disciples because the disciples did not observe the routine of ceremonially washing their hands before they ate a meal. The Lord Jesus, you will remember, answered the critics by pointing out that they themselves were not consistent in what they did because they made certain rules which actually were contrary to the law of Moses. And having so disposed of the critics and having, as it were, pushed them back and made it clear, making it clear to them that their worship of God was in vain because they were putting their trust in man-made doctrines, He now examines the criticism because He is facing the fact that someone may have actually been disturbed by the criticism as it was offered. It is almost as though He did not discuss the criticism with the scribes and Pharisees because they weren't worthy, but He does with the multitude because the multitude may possibly be helped by this. So we read in the 10th verse, He called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand, which is to say, listen to me while I explain to you the real reason why I refute the criticism of these scribes and Pharisees about my disciples not washing their hands. You see, the public might have been swayed by that criticism to think that there was something about the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ that was unworthy and improper. And so for the sake of the public, He will discuss this question. So He starts out in the 11th chapter with a general statement, a statement that you would understand by just thinking of human nature. This is not a quotation of Scripture, but this is just a statement of reality, the way it is with nature. Not that which goeth into the mouth of a man, into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. This is a general statement. And by the way, this statement is based upon that understanding of the nature of man that we find throughout all the speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man has a relationship in this world and has a relationship before God in the other world, in the relationship before God. And much of what man has to do works, as it were, in two directions. We have responsibilities here and we have responsibilities there. Now, when you think of the mouth is for eating, yes, and the mouth is for speaking, yes. The mouth is for receiving food from this world and nourishing the body. The mouth is for the expressing of attitudes, thoughts, and ideas, and for serving, as it were, committing ourselves into the order of things. A man is not defiled by what he eats. He is defiled by the way he relates himself to the world. And so He would say to them, that which goeth into the mouth doesn't defile a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, what he says, that's what defiles him. It isn't food that matters. It's ideas and thoughts that count. And this brings a very proper and great principle to our mind. A man is not defiled by earthly environment. He's defiled by his own action, by his own outlook, by his own commitment. And actually, in looking out upon mankind as a whole, this would be very important to have in mind. The real need of man is not so far as this world is concerned. The real need of men is so far as their spirits are concerned. You may not be able always to control events in this world, but you can always relate a man to the world to come, to the world of God. So having said this, we find that the disciples came to him in verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Do you realize that what you had to say actually disturbed the Pharisees and provoked them and made them hostile? Now you will remember they've been hostile. You will remember these are the people that went about, talked already, have been talking about putting him to death. So actually, this was a rather superfluous thing. Somebody come along and say, you realize what you had to say made that man mad? Yes, but that man was mad at me anyway. He'd been mad at me for weeks. So you see what I have to say. The fact that it disturbs him doesn't really matter. Now notice what the Lord Jesus says. But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. That's just that the way it put. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Nothing in this world is permanent except that which God does. And listen, there's a great deal going on in this world that God's not doing. There's a great deal being arranged and managed and set up and promoted in this world that is not the will of God. Anyone who has the idea that God is in everything is looking at things from a very limited point of view. Certainly he provides the strength with which men do whatever they do, but that doesn't mean that God shares in a murder. The murderer couldn't have murdered without strength that God gave him. He abused it, but God didn't give it to him for that purpose. A thief couldn't steal at all if God didn't give him the grace to be able to move and give him the strength to be able to go and to think and to make his plans and everything like that. And you could say that he is doing all this because God's working in him, but you would be certainly confusing your mind because God has nothing to do with his stealing. And so I could go on to go all the way through. No, in this world there's much going on that God has not done. He didn't inspire it and he didn't direct it and he's not responsible for it. And every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. And this goes in religion as well. It goes among religious things. And these people, these Pharisees, were religious leaders. But their whole point of view is not from God. The way they went at this whole thing is not from God. And God's not responsible for what they do. And what they do is going to come to nothing. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Then comes this word that must sound strange to us when we hear it read out loud. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now I can imagine that there will be some people who say, oh, that's terrible. And I can think that some people would say to us right away, oh, we shouldn't do that. Some people would say right away that if they hadn't read this, they'd be right away to say, well, now Jesus of Nazareth wouldn't have done that. He'd have taken the time out to convince those people. I want you to notice that when he says, let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, the Lord Jesus did not attempt to show those blind leaders. And take it from me, the man who is ministering the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world has more in his hands than he can do. But one of the things he does not have in his hands is the convincing, the refuting of the error and the convincing of the people who have willfully turned their backs on God and who are promoting their own ideas, wrong as they are. A Christian leader, speaker, teacher, preacher, a Christian has far more to do in this world than to take up his time arguing with somebody that's dead set against the gospel anyway. There are people who haven't heard, people who don't know, people who want to find out. We have far too much to do to waste time with people who don't want to know anyway. All they want to do is to stop us. We are reminded of Nehemiah when he was building the wall, and when his enemies had tried every possible way to stop him, they finally invited him down for a conference. And I can imagine right away that some people, even today, would criticize him because he didn't go down for the conference. After all, they'd say you ought to be fair-minded. Where'd they get that, we don't know. You ought to be fair-minded, and from that they say, well, you ought to go into conference with these people. You ought to associate with them. You ought to dicker with them. I wonder if you ever will realize that there are certain areas in which you can draw a line at the very outset and not cross it. And I wonder if we ever have realized that, so far as Nehemiah was concerned, he did exactly what he was led to do when he sent down word. You know what he told them? I'm busy. I've got things to do. And here the Lord Jesus says, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. I won't have time to develop it any further with you just now, but the Scriptures will tell you that you've got far more to do than to take up your time arguing with somebody that doesn't want to understand anyway. All he wants to do is hinder you. But when this was done, Peter came and said, declare unto us this parable. Explain to us what you mean. And the Lord Jesus turned to him and said, are you also yet without understanding? You mean you don't understand what I just said? Do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? Don't you see how that goes? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. This is the saying, that, again, based upon a practical acceptance of nature, human nature and experience. Plain common sense would just go to show that what goes into a man's mouth has to do with his physical health. What comes out of his mouth and the expression of his heart and mind has to do with his spiritual health. And the whole truth of the gospel is not a matter of physical hygiene. It's a matter of spiritual hygiene and spiritual health. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to understand these things. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.